Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discuss Military Saves Week, and we'll find out what the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is doing to appeal to our latest generation of veterans. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
February 3rd, 1943, a United States Army transport, the SS Dorchester, tragically sank off the coast of Greenland. Witnesses of the event recounted the heroic actions of four chaplains of different faiths, whose heroic and selfless acts that day saved the lives of many men. The chaplains included Lieutenant George L. Fox, a Methodist, Lieutenant Alexander D. Good, of Jewish faith, Lieutenant John P. Washington, a Catholic, and Lieutenant Clark V. Poling, a Dutch Reformed minister. During the 18 minutes the transport was sinking, the four chaplains went sailor to sailor to calm fears and to hand out life jackets. When there were no more life jackets to hand out, the four chaplains removed their own life vests and gave them to the troops in need of protection. The four chaplains went down with the ship, arm in arm, in prayer. The chaplains' unique interfaith spirit and love for their fellow men is a lesson for all, and amplifies the quality and dedication of the chaplain corps in the military. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veterans.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about personal financial counseling for our service members and military families is Craig Hovland, a personal financial counselor with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Craig, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thank you for having me.
We've had people on talking about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon for all the years that we've been on the air here, and what we've learned is that that program started as a reintegration program for our troops coming back from deployments, and it's expanded to much, much more. What part do you play in it now, and what all do we do for our service members and their families?
Well, Tom, I'm part of the Resilience Resources Group, and we're based out of Cottage Grove, but we handle the whole state. There's a director of psychological health. We have licensed drug and alcohol counselors. We have mental health professionals. And then I'm one piece of that as the personal financial counselor. One of the things that we do is our goal is to take care of our service members and families in not only from the financial side, but in total, so that we know that they can be mission ready to move forward, whatever their mission might be.
So as part of the broader picture, we try to make sure that our military families, when they deploy, know all the resources that are available. And when they come back, we help them reintegrate into civilian society. And there's a whole myriad of things that they might need help with. And you're there when they go, and you're there when they come back, along with a lot of other folks.
Yes, that is correct, Tom. One of the things we do is we're doing pre-deployment sessions, doing briefings, presentations, meeting one-on-one with the family and the service member, and then also with the post-deployment. We're out doing drill weekends, again, meeting one-on-one. That's everything we do is confidential. It is free. We try to meet one-on-one. It could be over the phone. It might be through email, depending on where they're located as well.
And for our civilians that are listening, you know, think about the fact that usually a husband and wife that have a family do a lot of things together, and they share tasks. But if we take a husband or a wife out of the family picture and send them halfway around the world for 6 months or a year, the remaining spouse has to do all of those things, and quite often budgeting, filing tax returns, figuring out do we have enough money, are we savings money? It's difficult, isn't it?
It is very difficult. I mean, I've done this on the civilian side as well. And what I see is we all have a set of financial issues, but the military then has another layer on top of that. And when a spouse is deployed, the spouse that's deployed may be the one that took care of all the finances. And so to try to help the other spouse that's at home with what needs to be done, a plan going forward, if something breaks down in the house, who do they call? Again, who pays the bills? All of that so that they're ready while the husband or wife is out of the country.
Now, Craig, what's your background? How long have you been doing personal financial planning?
There's a couple stints there. I was a financial planner for Thrivent for like 3 or 4 years. And then I had my own business in Financial Literacy Partners was the name of the business. And what I did is I went into corporations and taught money management skills to employees. Didn't sell any investment products or services, but it was to help them relieve their financial stress so they'd be more focused at work.
So when you're doing this on behalf of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and working with our military families, what are the typical questions that you get from the families?
The questions are all over the map. When somebody walks in the door to see me, I never know what it's going to be. Okay, it might be, help me find money to put food on the table. It could be that. It could be, I'm just looking for some ideas if I'm on the right path. It could be retirement planning. It might be around college funding for kids. It could be just how to teach kids about money. It's all over the map, and that's what makes the job really exciting.
We're speaking with Craig Hovland, a personal financial counselor from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Craig, you don't really know what they're gonna ask you for when they walk in the door. Does that mean that you probably work pretty closely with the family assistance centers and the transition assistance office and all those folks so that you're familiar with all the resources available?
Correct. That is true. I will have referrals from the family assistance centers and other places. For service members and their families that are struggling, they will come to me and see if we can help them in one shape or form. And the family assistance centers will refer people to me to meet one-on-one as well, again, to try to get them on a path going forward so that they're mission-ready in whatever that mission is.
And one of the examples might be if a military family got into a financial crisis due to a deployment, they might be coming to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation for a grant, but you want to make sure, as a personal financial counselor, that it solves the problem and that they've got the budget set for the future so that they don't get in trouble again.
Right. That's exactly right. One of the things that before a grant is given out, the idea is that people do come to see me to make sure that we can solve the problem so that it doesn't come up again.
And must be really rewarding to work with our military families and help them out of that hole sometimes.
Tom, it is very rewarding. It's, you know, the hole that they're in or anything I can do to help, I just love that part of the job.
So as we said, you work closely with the family assistance centers, the transition assistants, probably the chaplains?
Yeah, and the chaplains as well. There's events that they conduct, strong bonds, things like that. And also if they're hearing of service members and families needing help, they will refer people to us as well.
Now, Chaplain Wynn was in visiting with us a couple of months ago, and he talked about the Strong Bonds program, mm-hmm. where the husband and wife, usually following a deployment, get together and they learn some things. Do you participate in those as well?
Yes, we do participate in those, and I love that because I've got both people from the household there, and it's much easier to talk about finances with both of the partners there than having just one.
Now, I understood those weekends were for patching everything up, not for starting arguments, Craig.
Yes, finances can be one of those things that can cause some tension. But if we can get some of that ironed out and both the people on the same path, it can mean a whale of difference in their marriage and for their going forward as far as their financial future as well.
Now, for our service members and our military families, this has got to be a really great program. When I came back from Vietnam over 40 years ago, they said, here's your discharge papers, goodbye. Yeah. And if we had problems, we dealt with it. But today, our service members and their families, there are a lot of resources available, aren't there?
There are a lot of resources. As I mentioned before, there's the counselors and other mental health professionals. There's obviously myself. We have other resources out there to help service members with whatever's going on from a financial standpoint. We're here to help.
So you've got a lot of partners, and you can bring them in whenever you need them.
Correct.
All right, Craig, this is January, and people are going to start thinking about taxes. Do you get those kind of issues too?
We do get those issues as well. So people will come and ask about taxes, and while I'm not a tax expert and they can't rely on me for that information, I understand the taxes enough that I can give them some broad ideas as far as potentially best ways to maybe approach things.
Craig, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some tax issues, some military service credits, and talk about Military Saves Week. We've been speaking with Craig Hovland, personal financial counselor from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Craig Hovland, a personal financial counselor with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Craig, we started talking about tax season, and before we get into income taxes, I know that there's some credits available for our Minnesota military members who have served in combat. Can you tell us about those?
Yes, I sure can. These are obviously credits you don't want to forget about. There's one for the credit for military service in a combat zone. So if it's Form M99, it's a credit for soldiers, again, that served in a combat zone or qualified hazardous duty during the year, during the tax year. And it's $120 per month served. So that's, you want to make sure that you go out and get that. It's an important piece. But there's a second one as well. So again, this is for within the state. There's another one for the credit for past military service. And that's $750 if they've been separated from service and met one or more of the following conditions. The conditions are served in the military for at least 20 years, have a service-related disability rated by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and were honorably discharged. So those are two things that can be added to your taxes, and it's money on the table that you want to make sure you pick up.
And if any of our listeners didn't pick that up, you can go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org/financial-readiness, and you'll find out how to contact Craig, and I'm sure he'll be happy to give you that information again if you didn't get it. And, Craig, now we're coming up on tax season. Nobody likes doing their income tax returns.
Nobody likes doing the tax returns is right.
And I'll bet our service members that have been deployed and in and out of the country and gets complicated and they come back and they've got all kinds of things they'd rather do than their tax returns.
That is very true.
Is there help available?
There is help available. And one of the best places to go is to Military One Source. And there's a partnership that's out there with the H&R Block. So you have to log in to Military One Source, and then there will be a link there to hook up with online filing of taxes. And it's through H&R Block, and you have to set up an account in there. But then from there on, you can input your information, and the taxes will be done. And it allows you to do the federal tax and one state resident's tax return. And then they're also through Military One Source. There's counselors, and when you're on that website, you'll see that. There's counselors there that you can call and talk to about the tax return if you'd like to.
Craig, aren't there CPA firms across the state that are willing to help as well?
Yes, there are. There are some volunteer income organizations, income tax organizations that are specially addressed to the military experts that have gone through that. So, yes, there are CPAs that do that as well. So that's another place that you could get some more help.
And is there information on that at our favorite website?
Yeah, Beyond, favorite website, that is correct.
BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org. Seems like just about any kind of issue, any kind of problem that our service members have, that's a good place to start, isn't it?
It is a great place to start.
A lot of information there. And once again, if they want to find you, they can go to BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org. We're speaking with Craig Hovland, personal financial counselor with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon on Minnesota Military Radio. Craig, do our military members know how to save money? I know we've got a thing coming up called Military Saves Week. How does that work? And can you tell me how to save some money?
Sure, sure.
We'll do that
afterwards.
We'll do that later.
Yes, Military Saves Week is coming up, and it's part of America Saves. But the dates are February 24th, and it's through 1 March. And the idea there is to save a portion of each paycheck, kind of develop a personal financial plan, establishing good credit, reducing debt, building wealth. They're all great things that everybody should be doing. So this year's focus is really set a goal, make a plan, and then save automatically.
Pay yourself first. I've heard that before.
Pay yourself first. That's correct.
So this all comes down to a budget and not overspending?
Budgets, I don't like the word budget. Let's call it a spending plan. Okay.
That's what
it
is.
It's the same thing. But I know budget conjures up some negative images in a lot of people's mind. I see military members that, you know, have maybe not gotten into saving for retirement. They might be older. They could be in their 40s, and they're now thinking about retirement. And obviously, you need to jumpstart that to get anywhere because you don't have a lot of time for compounding. I was out doing a briefing with the rookie ranks, and what amazed me was I had these 18-year-olds asking me about retirement at that age and about the thrift savings plan, which is the tool that can be used for saving for retirement.
So, Craig, do these young military folks understand the time value of money?
Some do and some don't. And that's part of my job, to educate them around that so that they do understand that. There was one gentleman that I sat down with. He was really concerned. His main concern when he walked in to see me was around, am I doing enough for retirement? He was 33 years old. And after he pulled out his iPhone and showed me what he had already saved $250,000 at 33. Now, if you compound that roughly at 8%, he's got $2 million at age 60. So I told him he needed to start thinking about how to get it out. And I reminded him it was a great problem to have.
And, of course, when we talk about the time value of money, if you're 18 years old and you save $100 a month till you're 65 or maybe 75, right, then you're going to be way ahead of the guy that waits till he's 55 and says, oh, I better put away $5,000 a year,
right,
because you aren't going to catch up, are you?
No, you're not going to catch up. And the Thrift Savings Plan is a great tool to do that. They have a component where it can be a regular TSP. There's a lot of detail around this, and so you can get a hold of me and I'll share it with you. But a regular TSP where it's before tax, and they actually have a Roth TSP as well, and they can do one or the other or both.
So, Craig, you're available to all the service members in Minnesota?
I am available to all the service members, all about 13,000 of them.
You should be a busy man.
I am generally busy, and I am also, I go out to drill weekends and things like that as well, so I'm traveling as well.
How receptive are soldiers and airmen to what you have to offer?
Once soldiers and airmen figure out that what we give to them is not judgmental or anything like that, and they feel comfortable with me, and that usually works the best after I've done a briefing, then they line up a lot of times to see me because they have questions about all kinds of things.
So how does this work? How does that work? How
should
can I
buy
maximize
a car? What about fixing my house? Should I do this? Should I do that? And one of the things I want to make clear of, first of all, everything is confidential, and it's kept with me. And in addition to that, I'm not telling people what to do. I'm offering suggestions.
And once again, there's no right or wrong in your financial plan. There's no right or wrong in your retirement plan. There's only what would you like to achieve and by what date and how many years you have to do it.
Right.
And then how much do you have to save to get there?
That's exactly right. If somebody could tell us what the tax rates are and when I'm going to die, we could come up with a perfect plan.
Your crystal ball doesn't show that, Craig.
No, I don't have that ball.
So you've told me there's no typical problem that comes up, but is there any problem that comes up more often than others?
Yeah, there is. The first one is not having a spending plan and people not knowing where their money goes. That would be probably number one. The second one would be not having an emergency fund. And by an emergency fund, I mean a fund that you can dip into when the car breaks down without having to use a credit card or scramble to find money.
So if their spending plan is, I have some money in my pocket, I'm going to spend it till it's gone.
Right.
And your emergency plan is pray?
Yes.
That's probably not good.
It's not a good idea because you'll end up scrambling, and you and I both know enough things happen in life that aren't planned that it's just going to happen. It's just when.
We absolutely do. I've been around long enough to see that, Craig. Craig, we just got about a minute left. Have you got any final thoughts for our listeners and for our service members and the families?
Yeah, I do. Contact me. I'm here to help, and I will get you or find you the resources to help with every situation you have. The other thing I try to encourage service members to do is once they meet with me, we come up with some suggestions for their personal plan. The goal is that they come back. They come back to see me again. I'm like kind of an accountability partner. If they can come back and see me again, they can say, Craig, this isn't working. We'll find another way to do it. Or this is working, and then we'll move further down their financial plan. So I love doing that with people and also having the opportunity to see them again.
So be flexible in your plan and get a checkup, and don't be afraid to alter the plan so that it starts to work.
That is correct.
Craig, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Craig Hovland, personal financial counselor from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. You can contact him and find more information at beyondtheyellowribbon.org/financial-readiness. In a moment, we'll find out what the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is doing to appeal to our latest generation of veterans right here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll find out what the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is doing to appeal to our latest generation of veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
At the end of this month, we will begin the 2014 legislative session. This year is a bonding year of the two-year biennium, and we will look to secure asset preservation for the upkeep and maintenance of our 50-plus buildings. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is a unique state agency because of our nonpartisan nature. It is important now, more than ever, to focus on our mission and what we need to do as a department to educate our state leaders on the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and how we can all work together to assist Minnesota's heroes. As a county and as a state, we have made certain commitments to our veterans. It's important that we keep good on those promises. To stay updated on both federal and state legislative updates during this session, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minnesota VA healthcare system has a program that's designed to be a combat-centered program advocating for and coordinating veterans' care, promoting a healthy reintegration, providing case management, outreach, and transition assistance for veterans' families into their communities. And joining us today to talk about it is Mark Frenzel. Mark, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. Pleased to be here.
It sounds like a pretty important program. Does it have a big fancy name?
It does have a very fancy name. Do you want me to tell you what it is? It's Operation Enduring Freedom, Iraq Freedom, New Dawn program. It's for all returning combat veterans who have served since 1998.
And you head up that program for the Minneapolis VA?
Yep.
What's the history of the program? Where did it come from, and how did we determine we needed it?
It started in 2007 through congressional legislation. Nationally, it was stood up in 152 VA medical centers. I think it started because there was recognition that we had not done a good job of welcoming home our earlier veterans, like, for example, Vietnam era, which you were part of, and some of our Gulf War. And the VA decided, I think, that we needed to have a program where people came in much earlier for care and services than they had previously.
Now, Mark, how long have you been at the VA, and did your prior experience put you in a position to be the right guy to lead this program?
Well, I think it did, and I came from a early background in the VA in Los Angeles and New York as a clinical social worker, became a chief of social work in New York, and then went to the University of Minnesota to head up social work for about 10 years. And Mr. Kleinglass, the former director at the medical center, was looking for someone to start this program, and I applied, and he thought I was the right person. So I was very privileged to be able to come on board at that point.
So you started in connection with this particular
program. Yeah.
And we've defined, I guess, who it's for, because it's for the recent group of veterans. What type of services do you provide, and who needs this program? Who wants it?
Okay. The types of services you mentioned in your introduction, there's three core services. One is around reintegration, and that is when the men and women come home from combat. We're at the demobilization sites. We were at Fort McCoy. We were at Camp Lewis in Fort Lewis in Washington when they came home. And we, at that point, were able to have people fill out their 1010 EZs, which is the enrollment form to get into the VA. And then we also follow them at the 30, 60, and 90-day reintegration events where we touch base with all the soldiers there. So that's the first part of the program. The second part is around care case management, and that's where most of our people, when they come in for the first time, we have a new post-deployment clinic that's at the Minneapolis VA, started in 2008, a year after the program was stood up. And that's where soldiers come in and they get a two-hour, two-and-a-half-hour exam. They see a doctor. They get all their lab work. They meet with somebody from my staff, one of my care coordinators, a nurse or a social worker. And at that point, we have a good sense of what their issues might be. And so then we connect them to the right resources, either at the VA or in the community. And the third area is the outreach, which I can talk about maybe later.
Well, we'll get to the outreach, but you were listening to the interviews for the first half. We had Craig Hovland on from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and he was talking about the Minnesota National Guard's reintegration program. And, of course, they have the 30, 60, 90-day programs. Do you work closely with the Minnesota National Guard and all those same folks?
Yes, we very much do. When Major General Shelato was the head of the National Guard, we started with him in 2007, and Lieutenant Colonel O'Reilly, Colonel Morris. So we actually helped develop some of the initial yellow ribbon with them. And then when he went to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, we've worked with General Nash's group since then. And it's evolved a little over time. Initially, the focus was on those reintegration events. But then we also added a one-year event with the Guard where we, along with employment and school, had sort of a special one-year event with all of those people who had come home, because that's when we found a lot of them had some difficulties. And that we've done with the larger DMOB events.
Well, on the DMOB events, there are a lot of resources available, as we're learning quite well today, from financial resources to emergency funds to, and now the VA hospitals there. What type of questions do you get at those events from the returning troops?
The main questions we get are, you know, related to their health care, and then their benefits regarding education and home loans, and a lot of questions we get from, you know, actually the spouses who sometimes come along to some of the events we've had, like the family readiness events. And we try to make sure that, you know, again, their soldiers are getting in for care. That's our main objective initially.
We're speaking with Mark Frenzel from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system about a program to help our returning veterans called OEF-OIF-OND program. And we're going to get into more of that in a minute, where this is Minnesota Military Radio. Mark, we've got to find an easier name for your program.
I agree.
I'm stumbling on it, but
well,
I'm sorry.
Just returning veterans, combat veterans.
Mark, we've had folks on the show talking about Agent Orange, which was a problem for those people who went to Vietnam like myself. And seems like every theater of war, when we send our troops off, they come back and they've got certain things that are bothering them. In your program, are you finding some of that as well from today's soldiers and
yes,
airmen?
Yes, we are. One of the signature injuries, as you probably know, is the traumatic brain injury because of all the IEDs and explosions that a lot of our soldiers were exposed to. The other is burn pits. There's a lot of exposure there. Also, we're finding with the sandstorms, there's a number of things there. So one of the reasons we have them come through our post-deployment clinic is so we can do that fairly comprehensive exam, and then if there are issues with that, we can send them to more specialized care.
So depending on where they might have been deployed, you've got a good idea what the issues might be when they come back and
yes.
Have people ready for that.
Yep, we do. And ahead of our post-deployment clinic, he has a map on his wall which shows even where some of those things were at, and when soldiers come in for their first exam, they'll sort of talk about that and then focus in on those kind of things.
Now, Mark, for our troops that sign up and maybe they're only signed up for one hitch and then they get out, is there a limited period of time where they can come over and talk to the VA about things that happened on a deployment?
They get 5 years of free health care if they've been in combat, any type of combat, since 1998. And so after that, and they've come in once in that five-year period, they basically are entitled to free VA health care for the rest of their life. Now, they may have a small copay after that five-year window, but if they have any service connection, then that's waived at that point. So it's really a nice benefit for a lot of these veterans and their...
Now, the other side of that, Mark, is if they come back and they think they're okay, or maybe they just don't come in, and the 5 years goes by, and now they decide, I should have talked to somebody, I've got this problem. Do they have to go through the whole qualification system at that point?
They technically do. We ask for a means test after 5 years if they've never touched the VA during that time. That's why it's so important, and that's why we've worked so hard with the National Guard in making sure we're bringing in those people. We have had 18,000 unique veterans who've come in since 2002 to our Minneapolis VA because of that outreach and because of the work with the Guard. And in last year, we had 8,500 that came in just from primary care, specialty care services.
So what I hear you saying is if you've been deployed recently and you've come back and if you've got any kind of issues, come on out and get it checked out right now.
At least come in for one, primary care exam, and then you're good to go, really, until you die.
Now, if we've got some veterans out there that are listening and it's been less than 5 years since they were deployed and they want to contact you, how do they start? Do they go to their county veteran service officer? Do they call the VA? What's the best way?
County service officers are a great resource. They can do that. They can call. We have a wonderful website, the Minneapolis VA, and our program's on there, and they can just call that, and we will get in touch with them. And I have a program number, too, which is 612-467-3757. And that's probably the quickest way to get some really good service.
And if you didn't get that, we'll have a link up on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page where you can find out how to contact the VA. Or, as usual, always remember to go talk to your county veteran service officer. Mark, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this program and how you're helping our today's veterans. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking to Mark Frenzel from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Mark, one question keeps coming up again and again, and I think I was one of them before I was a patient out at the clinic. Why are so many veterans reluctant to use the VA healthcare system? I was, but I always thought that's for guys that were wounded and lost limbs and all that. Let them have it.
Well, Tom, I think that's an excellent question, and I think part of what you just said is part of the answer is when you're young and fairly healthy and you're coming home from combat, what we find is that first 6 months, they don't want to have much to do with anything other than to get home with their family and get reintegrated. And we wave papers in front of them. And, we've heard about the VA, but really they don't have any real issues, many of them, except if you're seriously injured or ill, then they're going to be coming in. And I think they also feel they're taking a place for those type of veterans. So I think that's been a major barrier, trying to get them to see that this is just regular kind of good care, preventative care too. And again, we didn't have that for your generation of Vietnam era. So the public perception is out there too. The other thing that I think we found is that initially there was a lot of concern about confidentiality. And if they were coming to the VA for something, and if it got back to their command, initially they thought that might affect their being able to stay in the Guard or go on future deployments. And that isn't the case. And as we know, the Guard has emphasized that too, that we want you to get the care, and then you can still continue. So I think those are the main reasons.
Now, Mark, when I think about the Minneapolis VA, I think about the hospital out by the airport. And, of course, we've got military members and veterans all over the state. But you've got some outstate clinics too, don't you?
Yes, we do. In fact, there's 11 of them currently, and I have staff, OEF staff, my nurses and social workers. I have one staff who actually lives in Wisconsin. He's a social worker, former Army veteran, who goes to Chippewa, Rice Lake, and Hayward. And he goes in there each one day a week to see veterans. And then he also goes to their place of residence, because we find that the rural veteran is not coming in. Other places are obviously at Twin Ports and Duluth area and Hibbing, and we have two staff up there full-time because of the population. We have over 1,200 OEF veterans up there. And then I have two staff that go down to Mankato and Rochester once a week, too. So, yeah, we're covering those clinics now.
And you've got a great partnership with Minnesota's Disabled American Veterans because they provide a lot of transportation, don't they?
Yep, they do a great job. They help us a lot with that, and we arrange some of that through county service officers. And also, I have three transition patient advocates. I didn't talk about them, but they actually will provide transportation when we can't, you know, get somebody from DAV if it's in a real funny kind of location in a rural area. And we can take the car out and bring them back for appointments, which has been really helpful.
We're speaking with Mark Frenzel from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Mark, we deferred the conversation on the third leg of what you provide, and that was outreach and transition assistance. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I would. I think the outreach has changed over the last few years. Right now, our major outreach is focusing on our colleges and campuses. As you probably know, MNSCU set up veteran resource centers through Steve France. He's the director of that. A couple of years ago, they went up. And
we've had Dr. Franz on the show. He's doing a good job.
Yeah, he is. And what we found is that many of those student veterans have never come to the VA. They're the group that is generally pretty healthy and doing okay. And so they've never used that access, that five-year access. So I have a full-time outreach coordinator now who has established campus hours through the resource centers on 10 campuses in the metro area. And Minnesota, University of Minnesota, Anoka Ramsey, and Normandale, we go to weekly. And then Inver Grove Heights, there's a couple others that we go to monthly.
So on the campuses, they post the hours so they know that you'll have someone coming out?
Yep, on a regular basis.
They can just stop in and chat?
They stop in and chat, and we do health briefs. We also do a lot of education. We provide mental health counseling at the University of Minnesota. This fall, we set up an arrangement with Boynton Health Services where one of our mental health providers from the VA goes out there one day a week to actually meet with veterans on the campus to deal with issues that they might have or that they've been referred, so they don't have to come to the VA. They
Make
can go right,
convenient.
Right there.
Yeah. How are the students responding? Pretty well?
They're responding very well, yeah. And we're actually going to try to expand that to a couple community colleges this next year.
Well, if program works, you know what to do with it.
I know, yeah.
Mark, we got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about your program and about what a tremendous VA healthcare system we're privileged to have here in Minneapolis?
Well, I would just like to say that we'd really encourage anybody who has not come in, returning group of veterans, to try us out and give us a chance. We have wonderful quality, exceptional service, I think. And all you need to do is look at the website. You can obviously find the number that you guys will put up for us. And give us a try. I think we'll make you proud.
We'll post contact information for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook. Mark, I'm so glad that you had an opportunity to come in and talk to us today. We're looking forward to seeing someone from the Minneapolis VA system coming in to visit with us once a month from now on, so we can tell all the stories of the great work that you're doing out there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you very much. My privilege.
This is Mark Frenzel from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Joining me now is Todd Kubinski, the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, to bring us up to date on all things Veteran Service Office. Todd, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right. So what kind of trouble are you getting in there down in Shakopee this week?
Oh, I'm staying out of trouble here, but definitely trying to create some havoc nationwide if we can.
How are you doing that, Todd?
Well, we have been told for quite a while now that the claims in Minnesota that are submitted to our regional office are being held back while they help the rest of the nation catch up. What I did know and what I found out last week is that the end game on this is to have the claims go wherever they want them to. In other words, they want to spread all the claims out throughout the nation. So the point is we're no longer going to have that control that we have with the claims, because a claim filed in Minnesota could actually end up in Milwaukee or Oakland. So that's a huge concern for us, and that, unfortunately, that's what the VA Central Office wants to have happen.
That doesn't sound to me like something that's going to work out very well for our local veterans.
No, it won't. And part of that problem is that we use like the national service organizations as our partner. We can get information and get access to the file. Well, if it's in Oakland, we may not necessarily get that access. And it's troublesome. And I definitely will be talking to some people to make sure that if they do this, that we have an avenue that we're able to actually get information on those claims and help our vets out.
I hope you and your association can have some impact on that, because I'd rather have that close to home.
Yeah, we all of us feel the exact same way, I believe.
Todd, we just, the second half of the show today, we interviewed a gentleman from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And, you know, I use that thing to order my medications. It's My Health E something. You probably get the name.
Right. It's My Health E Vet. And what it is, it's an internet portal to access your health care at the VA and help manage it. It's a great system. I use it for reordering my prescriptions, and it's a couple of clicks, password, another click, hit the toggles, and bam, I've reordered them. Just that quick, and you get instant feedback to let you know they've been reordered.
I use them the same way, and if you've got a question for your doctor and you've got a few days to wait, you can send a question, and they'll get to answering it. It works pretty well.
Absolutely. One little trick that I do like to share is that if you are getting medications, order your next refill early, no later than 15 days out. We've run into some problems where vets have run out of their medications because they waited till the last minute to order their meds. In most cases, you can order them up to 30 days ahead of time, but no later than 15 days. That ensures your next refill gets to you in time.
I've seen that too. When you order it a little bit early, it looks like they won't ship it until the day they're supposed to anyway, but then it comes out on time.
Yes, that is correct.
Todd, what would you have to say to our listeners all over the state on the Minnesota Military Radio Network about all things veteran?
Well, for all things veteran and for access to your benefits, please get in contact with your county veteran service officer. You can find all our contact information on macvso.org. It's Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers.org.
And Sergeant Ben will have a link up to that on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook site for anybody that didn't get it. Todd, thanks for joining us again today.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you very much.
This is Todd Kubinski with an update from our County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. And if you have a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Craig Hovland, Mark Frenzel, Todd Kubinski, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet the people behind the Veterans for Veterans organization and see how our Minnesota National Guard members are mentoring kids in science and math. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.